I want your take on. So I've been worshiping Vastasakis for about 12 years. You know,
Vastasakis,
more internal Antaranga type. You know, and since I've been here 5 years, we visit the villages. You know, we do everything.
Are you Vastasaki villages?
Yeah, I've learned.
How many times you've been over there?
Oh, I've been here 5 years. We go at least five or six times to each of them every year.
Yeah, you know? I've been twice in all the time.
Oh,
yeah. All the time.
Yeah, I've probably been 30 or 40 times to each one. Unchigan is my favorite. Yeah,
so, yeah, that's easy to find.
But anyway, and I just opened up a discussion with my Guru Maharaj / Guru Maharaj about it. And he knew that I was visiting him and everything, but I started getting into more deep, inner feelings and stuff with him. So we've begun kind of, he approved and blessed my, bhajan and everything.
Yes.
So it's going to be like kind of an ongoing, hopefully, conversation with him now on that channel. But my question is, because you've been here many years. And from what I, from your books and, everything that I've read, and, you've been basically on, more of an internal, mood. That it can be difficult with the other devotees around that are not in that same mood. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, like the gopis, they had difficulty also. Because everybody around the gopis, they were all their, what they call in-laws.
Yeah.
So they weren't favorable to their to their bhav, their parakiya bhav. They were all considered obstacles. Of course, they served a positive role because they heightened the experience of meeting Krishna and created so much excitement in the whole relationship.
Yeah.
Because without those players, there's no parakiya bhav. The so-called husband, and so-called mother-in-law, and sister-in-law, etc. Jatila, Vimanyu, Kutila.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but I know how to be tolerant and so on, but at the same
basically
time,
it's your secret treasure.
Yeah.
The Narottam says these treasures that we have from our own bhajan, we can only share them with guru and guides and those that we love and trust, which may be very few or none. It's very nice. A phrase that Vishnu Chakravarti ends his Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur ends his, you're talking about practicing your personal bhajan and sakhi bhav or braja bhav and not finding much positive encouragement from the sangha that you're surrounded by, so how to deal with that. I think that's what you're saying. And the end of his tika on Sartadarshini Asaman Skanda chapter 90, Vishnu Chakravarti Pat, he's describing his autobiography. He's speaking himself. It's his tika. And he says that now with this commentary on this last verse of chapter 90, I'm finishing my tikas on the 10th canto. And I've been able to make these commentaries and understand these verses due to the association with great saints which I received in my heart. It's very nice. It says, Satam Sang, it's just a small phrase, it's simple. Satam Sangat Vridhi Me. Vridhi Me Anto, Vridhi Anto. Vridhi is heart, and Sangha is association. Satam means the saints. Satam Prasangam. So this is a very nice point. Because a lot of times people say, oh, I don't have any association, I'm far away from devotees, I'm living wherever, no one around, or I'm living with devotees at a different stage or level, so it's almost like living far away from devotees, because if you're living far away from the good association, then it's also another way of, even if you're in Vrindavan, you're living in a temple or whatever, but you can't find that sajatiya snigda, that friendly, loving association of the same viewpoint. That's difficult, but it's not an impasse, because if you go deep into the books of the Goswamis, then they manifest to you. Not even directly. What to speak of through, he said in the heart, he said, there, I received association from the great devotees from within the heart. So that means when he's writing all these commentaries about, say, Gopi Gita or Veno Gita, and many long commentaries, he's saying, Radharani said this, Lita said this, and the Gopi said this, and Krishna, all these dialogues. How is that possible? Because they've come to him. Radharani has come to him. The Sakis have come to him. Krishna has come to him. This whole pastime has come to him within his mind and heart as a sporti, a vision, a deep experience, or visporti, or even sakshat, direct. Then he writes about it. And amazing. His purports are amazing. You feel like, he's right there. Sometimes he's commenting on Gita, Bhagavad Gita commentaries, Vishnu. And he's saying, in this particular verse, Krishna and Arjuna are having this dialogue. They're having this conversation. Arjuna is saying this and Krishna is saying that. The verse is just saying one thing. Krishna says, you know, that for one who has been dishonored, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. It's just one phrase he said. Then long discussion in the purport. So that means that when he was writing Gita, then he got direct association of Arjuna and Krishna and the battlefield. He saw it and he says, oh, they're there and they're talking like this and like this, you know, between the lines. So in your situation, you're by yourself, or you go deep into the books, especially Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, his books are all the Manjri Bhav. You're talking about Astra Sakhis, but our general line that's coming from our Gaudiya line is the servants of the Sakhis. And a devotee, generally in the traditional format, they're the Astra Sakhis, but it's a big group. So everything is actually personalized. Each of the Sakhis, if you read in Ujjala Nilamani, they have particular moods and bhavas, and they're very highly technically analyzed. You know, Bama, Madhya, Antika. Bama, Madhya, Antika. So Antika means excessive, Bamya means left side, and then you know, there's Prakara, there are very many details. But you get the general idea of the character and the bhava of the different Astasakis, who are the main Yudhishthiras, group leaders in Radharani's party, her girlfriends. So that everyone practically knows without, doesn't take too much time. You come to know that Lalita is saucy, that Lalita Sakhi, she's outspoken. You know, she's a leader of all the Sakhis, and she's one of those kind of, they have these terms in the West. She's one of those ladies that doesn't take anything from anybody. You know, there's some which, you know, there are ladies like that, you know, many. They're tough. Okay, it's unfortunate that women have to become tough. They're supposed to be gentle and humble and nice, but when they're exploited and not respected and not cared for, then they have to fight, you know, fight for themselves. So this is a Kali Yuga. Everyone's natures are upside down because of the struggle for existence, and men are not proper men, so then women can't be proper women. It's a big problem. So her nature is like that. Krishna's like in front of Lalita. Even Radharani is described by Das Goswami as Lalita Bhiti Manini. The Manini, Radharani, she enters a state of man, contrary, opposing mood to Krishna, because of fear of Lalita. Bhiti means bhayam, you know. Hi, yes, Lalita, do whatever you say. Hey, no, I don't want to see you. I want to see you. No, I don't want to see you. Radharani is internally, they say, submissive, but then, no, make him sweat, make him cry, make him roll on the ground, make him, all right, whatever you say. That's so sweet. So this is Radharani. Swayam Shakti, Radharani original. She's like cowering in fear of Lalita. So then if you see the nature of Lita, and then you feel this is something of your own nature, and then you may like that. You may like Lalita's party. And because I've met devotees and godbrothers that I very much like this Sakhi. And I said, how is it? How you come out of nowhere, out of California, and you're liking this? I don't know, this, that. from last life or whatever. So they had too much like Lalita Sakhi or Vishaka or whatever, whomever. So that generally, as I said, in tradition, that the sadhaka will be, the guru would line them up, just like you see, Radharani has her 8 sakhis, Lalita Vishaka, everyone. But then each of those sakhis has her 8 sakhis. And Radharani has her Astamandris, 8 mandris, the 6 Goswamis and Lokanath and Krishna's Kaviraj, mandri form, Kasturi and Manjolali. So these are her special mandris, Radharani special, you know, that's, no, the 6 Goswamis. So now, Lita Sakhi, she has her Astamandris. Vishakha has her Astamandris. They have there's so much, you know, division, groups, all clustered around. There's Radharani's group, then there's, you know, the Sapaksha, then there's the neutral party, then there's the friendly party, then there's the anti-party. You know, the center of everything is like Radharani, then concentric circles. You know, one circle, then another circle. So there's Krishna, then Radha, then Radha Sakhis, and Radha, then Upasakhis. Like there's something called Upasakhis. Ananga Mandri has the name Mandri, but she's a Sakhi. She's a Nayaka. I mean, she has conjugal, you know, union with Krishna, you know, like husband and wife. So she's there, and Kalavati and Kandarpa, and they're they're called Upasakhis. So it's very much like you enter a family. There's one book by Raghunath Das, Goswami, called Brajavilas Stava. It's Stavavali. It's in English by Advaita Das and Kushikrata, whatever. Advaita Das's translation has a Srila Natadas's commentaries, which are very good and helpful, very deep and very nice, very scholarly and wonderful commentaries. So there he's talking about the family, Krishna's family. So I was just taking some notes on that, and I call that section Introduction to Krishna's Eternal Associates. I mean, that's basically what, you know, the formal as a subheading of this idea. And there he talks about Parjanya and Variyasi. Parjanya and Variyasi are the mother and father of Nanda, the 5 Nandas. And then he talks about Purnamasi and Lalita Vishaka, and like key players, Brinda and Kundalata. These are all, say, key players in the Madhurya Leela of Radha and Krishna. Maramango, Ambika. There's 2 main nurses, Kalimba and Ambika, but he speaks about Ambika. She's the main one. So then these are personalities that we will serve in under Krishna's family. But then when we get, actually, just like there's Seva Kunj, we'll be on a line. There's some system there. There's some line. And that makes it very personal. There's you and your Guru Sakhi and your Guru Sakhi Parampara. Then you're under a particular Sakhi, like Lalita, Vishaka, Tungavidya. And then you work with her mandris and her sakhis, and you serve Radharani. This is the kind of the bhajan system, the meditative system that's come down through the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. At least it's going on since 500 years. So I haven't seen in any of those discussions of the totality where one is just like tying up all 8 Astasakhis and praying to all of them. It's like, good, pray to all of them and think of all of them, because they're part of the eternal family which we'll move with and serve with. Because when you read Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita, you know, about Krishna's pastimes, you're always seeing Kundalata and Chitra's brushing the hair, and you're seeing what they're all doing in their different leelas. So you'll be familiar with them, but you have a particular group leader. You're underneath someone, so at some point you have to kind of, you know, see. Okay, it's like when we first come to Krishna, if we're just new in the whole evolutionary of our spiritual consciousness, we say, "Oh, Krishna's great. Krishna's very great. Kurukshetra Krishna, Dwarka Krishna, Mathura Krishna, Vrindavan. Oh, Krishna's wonderful." So would you like any one particular form of Krishna or aspect of Krishna more than another? No, Krishna's great. It's nice. Gita, Bhagavatam, 10th canto of Krishna book. So very good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. No, and then somehow, you know, you meet some sadhu, and then he's so absorbed, and then his stirati, his stirati, his permanently fixed devotional mood, in one of the five ratis, you know, shanta doesn't really count, but das, four ratis of braj, loving attachment, moods of love, rati, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya, like this. And then he's always speaking about gopis, and he's written books, and you read about them, you associate. Then that comes to you. That's why Lord Chaitanya came to give everybody. If you want it, you take it. If you, something doesn't allow you to take it, you don't take it. Then next day of Brahma, he'll come again. That's why, you know, it says charim in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says anarpita charim charat. Charim charat. This is chapter 1, Adi Lila, chapter 1, verse 4. This is the whole purpose of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Lord Chaitanya is coming here. This is, yeah. So Bhakti Shriyam, to give the bhakti of the gopis, the Manjri Bhav. So he's saying Charim Charat means a long time. I haven't given this for a long time. Which means the previous, you know, 300 million years ago, whenever, when the day of Brahma, he comes. Krishna comes, and then Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya has come to give this specific thing, Gopi Bhav. And the Goswamis, especially Raghunath Das Goswami Rupa, they have developed that into a whole meditative system. And then the subsequent Acharyas and Parivars, or family, the lines, Parivar means family, okay? The family, or the line of coming from Nityananda or Advaita or Gadadhara, they developed a whole bhajan system and a whole meditative system and all the teachings of the Goswamis to enter the family of Krishna and serve in a particular, you know, with a particular identity, spiritual identity, a sarup, you know, siddha sarup, as is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, siddha sarup, commonly called siddhadeya, and a certain bhav and mood and seva, many things that one will use that as a vehicle for practice. It's a sadhana. It's sadhana. It's not bhava bhakti. It's not praying. It's sadhana. And he'll practice that way to move and work and serve alongside all these, his family members. And it becomes very nice. So somehow, question you're asking, although we mentioned many things, but it's just how to deal with the society. You live alone or in the temple?
Right now I'm staying at MBT, so separate at the same time with the temple.
And all right.
I do some service for the temple.
Sure. Give you some facility to carry on.
Well, I mean, they don't, you know, they don't give me anything other than, you know.
You're okay.
I don't take any maintenance
or
anything from them.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's nice. So what is the actual problem? Or
well, it's not really a problem. It's just not, you know, as many Jews as there are, there's that many relationships with Krishna, you know. And you see, you know, sometimes somebody will say, you know, they'll I won't say they're looking down at you, but they're kind of, you know, oh, you're trying to be a gopi, you know, or something, you know, make some comment or something, you know.
Yeah, you know, you're only here 5 years. Anyway, it's like, you know, there's a certain secrecy required.
Yeah.
As even Jesus said, don't, you know, the Christians, they have this, Lord Jesus. He said, don't cast your pearls in front of pigs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, pig. You know, pig. Sewer. You know, they call sewer in Hindi. Swine. In German, they say swine. Pig.
But you know, I don't.
So this is, you have somehow, you're very fortunate by the mercy of Vrindadevi and Vrindavan. And your Gurudev, you have some good idea. You're going in the right direction. And so keep going. don't listen.
Not for me.
I said, don't listen. Like don't Prabhupada listen. Used to yeah. say, the dogs may bark, but the wedding party will pass.
Yeah.
Especially that, it doesn't mean much in India, but
yeah.
I mean, West, because we don't have that many dogs, are all locked up somewhere. But in India, if you live in India, all these analogies, they mean a lot when you live in India.
And a wedding band is, the wedding party is quite a knockout thing. And this huge sound system of 50,000 watts and this guy, whatever he's doing, I don't know, and some kind of little 10-rupee Casio he plays. The thing about Indian singers and these wedding bands, or the bands in general, they can't sing and play at the same time. I don't know if you ever noticed that, because I've been here a long time. They can sing. Their voices are okay. They're good. Some of them are quite good, and they're singing whatever songs, maybe bhajan sometimes or whatever. But they play a little harmonium because they're musicians. But they only play when the other part they sing, and then like they're singing some movie song. Usually some movie songs for a wedding, but they just say, and Krishna loves Radha so much. So he sings. Krishna loves Radha so much. You don't hear his harmonium. Or his, then they go da 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 like that, or they play, or other people sing the chorus. And then he's going, and then Krishna and Radha really loves him. But they never get to meet. It's so difficult. Have you ever noticed? You haven't noticed. I'm extremely observant. And I a little bit of music, I know something, not much, hardly anything, but because from the West, the guy is, he's doing everything. Andre, he played and sang. Can you imagine, Andre, Hare Krishna? I mean, can you imagine, he would sing nice rock, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's what they do. So I mean, probably when the wedding party comes, you put your ears in, put your fingers in your ear and run, But sometimes after, I'm here 28 years finished, and not that I'm running behind them, but I'm hearing, from wherever I am, wherever you're sleeping, you're hearing. And I go, because I go around the Brickman Mark all the time, Radhakan. And I go, and then I've seen them, and I watch, and I say, these guys, they're not very good. Hare Krishna. Can you imagine? I mean, I play a little mridanga and lead a kirtan, and Hare Krishna. Every lady, everybody can pick up cart. You can play the kartals, you can sing, no? So an average boy, a young man or lady in a spiritual movement, they can play an instrument and sing at the same time. But a professional Indian guys, anyway, that's a side note. So you just, the dog. So the dogs are barking, but the wedding party goes on. That's the point. So people, don't worry. Keep going. You're going good. You're doing good. You can't help but get mercy. You're rolling the dust of, Rahuli and Anjankot and all those, like the different villages and Dobaro and Chiksoli. You're going from one sakhi to another and begging for her mercy. You're going to Chitra. You're going to every Sakhi. Oh, Lalita, oh, Vishaka, please bless me. Please bless me. With what? Gopi Bhav. Yes. And what? Gopi Deha, Siradeha, Sarup, Radharani, Sakhi Manjari. This is what Lord Chaitanya came to give. And the Jivatma doesn't have a Stairati. Any Jivatma can become Manjari, and you'll get the appropriate spiritual body. All the bodies are lying in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha as expansions of the Lord's effulgence. It's in the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 9, verse 11. And Bhakti Sanava describes it. So you can get, that's what Lord Chaitanya, I heard one guru who was saying, one Gaudiya Acharya, he said, it's a shame. I feel so sad. He's an older guru. So many young people, so many people have come to this Gaudiya Sampradaya, through various, but they don't know anything about this Manjari Bhav. They haven't heard anything about it, or if they hear anything, it's taboo or it's forbidden. And he said, this is so unfortunate. It's like a man who's in a desert and he's dying of thirst, and he comes to an oasis. He comes to an oasis of water in the middle of the, and he just stands there, oh, wow, it looks really good, looks really refreshing. Anyway, let me just sit here. So we've come to the shore, the ocean of nectar, of what, you know, Raganuga Bhakti Prachar. This is in the CC. Lord Chaitanya came to preach Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti Prachar. But some different ideas have been introduced because seeing the Adhikar of the masses or whatever, they want to do some two-stage program. Preliminary sadhana bhakti, then advanced sadhana bhakti. So preliminary sadhana bhakti means no mention of Raganuga, and maybe even prohibited. But then when you go a little, that's preliminary, then you go a little more advanced in the sadhana, then there's the Raganuga sadhana, which is a second, is part of sadhana bhakti. In Raghavartman Chandrika, Vishnu Chakravarti says you can begin Raghunuga Bhakti as a bhakta, as a new person at the level of an Artha Nivritti. If you have some lobha, some greed, this is nice. I got this Krishna book, I met this devotee, heard this kirtan. Or, you know, I heard this kirtan by this Baba, he was just singing about Radha or Krishna. And I felt so much loving sentiments for Krishna just from hearing his kirtan. For Radha and Krishna. I don't know, he's only seeing Hare Krishna, but I just felt like Radha and Krishna were coming out of his mouth. You know, there's Babaji's, kirtaniers like that. And everyone's chanting Hare Krishna all around the world, but this person sits down, some total vairagi sadhu, and what he's seeing and what he's meditating on when he's chanting, it must be a lot to do with Radha and Krishna, because they come out and they... Oh, how come I feel the presence of Radha and Krishna right now in this kirtan? I've had the experience myself. So what is this kirtan? Of course, we have familiarity with Radha and Krishna, but you know, even people that don't. So this is, you've been blessed. Stay in Vrindavan as much as you can and do what you're doing. Somehow the Super Soul is guiding you. Yatra Radhani Maya,
yeah. I'm always careful to, you know, follow the process according to Shastra. I read a lot of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the process, you know. His Thakur is saved and everything. You know. So, you know, I always try to make sure that I'm not getting off track. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have to know the track clearly in order to stay on it. Some question? Pranavalavaji?
How can we understand if somebody who already have diksha, then he's going to some Babaji and without permission of his guru, he asking for diksha, then he received diksha from this Babaji, and is it offense and? What our attitude should be to such person, because sometimes after...
That means that person was a godbrother or something?
Not.
Just somebody you know?
Somebody you know? Close, yeah. Maybe sometimes close to me, sometimes not. But I have association with this person. I mean, should we continue our association, because from one point it looks like offense to guru, so we shouldn't associate to this person who is an offender. But maybe there is another point of view.
Everyone heard the question?
Prabhuji is asking, do we do any offense if we're associating with the addiction disciple who is doing like...
taking another guru.
Yeah, who takes up to another guru without permission of his diksha guru or
his
taking. So
yeah.
Is that dangerous enough?
For our own bhakti.
How is it our association?
Yeah. Thank you. These guru questions are very delicate. Because guru, all gurus are representatives of Krishna. The Shiksha and Diksha gurus are equal representatives of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So a guru should not be accepted lightly, without lots of thought and consideration and time. Also, if we follow the edicts or the rules of Hari Bhakti Vilas, Vaisnavan Goswami, it's in English also, we could read it. It says that guru and shishya should associate with each other for 3 years before diksha. Minimum 1 year, but close association as much as possible, vairagis and women or whatever, meeting class and whatever discussion, and maybe meeting his followers also, his disciples, whomever, ladies, gents. And so it's a gradual process, accepting guru. It's not a light thing. Come on, I'm going. There's this great Baba, initiating. Why don't you come? You initiate. Okay, yeah, good. Okay, maybe you do that. But this is not what Shastras are saying. Somehow you may get swept up into something. So before accepting a guru, one should be very careful and cautious and examine the guru and himself and their compatibility and his qualification, your qualification. Many things are described, even the qualifications of disciples are described, and guru, all there. So now you make a choice after all this deliberation. And you understand my English?
Yeah.
After all this deliberation and time and examination and thinking, praying, guru says, yes, I'll initiate. Okay, I surrender. So now you take initiation. Then, I took initiation from this guru, but I don't know this other guru is much teaching higher things, and my mind is going there, and I'm very curious and interested there. My guru is not presenting this aspect of Krishna Bhakti, so I think I'll just kind of slide over there. Is that right or is it wrong, and how to deal with that person who has apparently left one guru to accept another guru? These are decisions that the disciple will have to make himself in communication with his own guru. That's the best way. Then it's clear. For example, it's very clear. Like, you're asking me as if I'm a representative of your guru, but this is a very delicate thing. There's some very fine points of this which I've just come to see recently and heard about, which are a little hard to digest because we all come from a certain history, a certain conditioning and history, depending on where we've been and where we've grown up in Krishna consciousness. To put it in a very generic way, without stepping anywhere. Humans are like that. We are a result of our conditioning and our association and our experience and our knowledge. Everyone will agree. But I see there is a verse in Bhakti Sandarbha, I think it's verse 311, which is quite amazing after what I've heard for so many 30-some years, almost 40 actually, to be exact. He said, if a disciple is not, he's not satisfied with his guru, he may leave him to accept another one. That's all it says. Doesn't say if you leave your guru is an offense and all these things. It doesn't. But moreover, what it says in Bhakti Sandarbha and different places, it talks about what are the reasons when. It talks a lot about when a disciple can leave the guru. But this particular verse just says, it does, because the other places where Jiva Goswami is talking about when you can give up your guru or reject your guru, he's fallen down, but then he's stuck. He stays down. Even if he falls down in the principles but picks himself up, the disciple should, when he's fallen, the disciple, some senior or whatever, close, intimate disciple, oh, Guruji, what happened? You were leading us and everything was fine and you have some problem. Please pick yourself up and let's get back. This is what happened. Okay, yeah, and then he's back. Then everybody goes on. And all blessings come, Krishna's happy, everything goes on. That's considered the least severe reason to leave a guru, breaking the principles. And then the most severe, if he starts preaching Mayavadi philosophy, know, impersonalism. He's a devotee. He's supposed to preach the Nam, Rupa, and Guna, Leela, and glories of Radha and Krishna. He starts preaching about Brahma, Suyuja. That then you fly away from there and say, "What are you talking about? No, this is the way. Everything else is, doesn't mean." So apasiddhanta means against our Gaudiya Siddhanta, you know, untruth. And so that, where he starts, he's an offender. He's a Vaishnava offender. That's another reason. He's offending devotees. So that becomes a little kind of gray area. Well, yeah, I think my guru is an offender. He's offended the Babaji's, or he's offended the gurus, or, you know, I'm leaving him. So that's told that if the guru is an offender to the Vaishnavas, the disciple may leave him. So now the individual disciple, who will decide that? That the disciple will have to decide, because the guru is not going to say, "Oh, by the way, you know, I'm an offender, you should leave me." The guru is not going to say that to the disciple. The disciple will somehow see that and it'll be very clear. And as I said, it's a very serious decision. Okay, I see like this. So that's given by Jiva Goswami, and it's written in other places also. I just can't remember, but definitely Jiva Goswami discusses when you can leave the guru. So there are reasons and conditions and circumstances when a disciple can leave a guru, okay? So that's like obvious. There's some problem with the guru, you know, offensive. He's offender and he fell down and never got up, or he just stayed into Maya, into sense gratification, or he's preaching apasiddhanta. So that's clear. But now it even comes that if this verse, I think it's 3.11, Anuchet 3.11, and it's very simple. He doesn't give any purport to it. It's just one statement. Because he's talking in the section where Jiva Goswami is talking about diksha. What happens at diksha? And he says you can only have one diksha guru. He said you can only have one diksha guru. But actually, then he gives a verse. He says one should only have one diksha guru. That means what he's actually saying: one diksha guru at a time. Because then he says if. You should only have, the next verse is, regarding the rule, you should only have one diksha guru. If a disciple takes initiation from one guru, but he's not satisfied with that guru, then he may leave and accept another guru. And then he says this, as soon as he hears the mantras from the other guru, that automatically cancels his initiation with the other guru. It doesn't say anything about he's an aparadi or an offender or anything like this. This is not told anywhere in Sandarbhas. Because one may have a guru, if this is basically what Jiva Goswami, one may have a guru that's not an offender. He's not an offender. He's not preaching apasiddhanta. He's not preaching, you follow what I'm saying? The guru is okay. He's a good guru. I mean, he's a real guru. He's not preaching apasiddhanta. He's not a Vaishnava offender. He hasn't fallen down. So, but you can still leave him, at least according to Jiva Goswami, if you're not satisfied, means... And this is a grave and serious decision, is that I'm developing like this, but the guru is just presenting this level of Krishna consciousness. Do the dishes. I'm choking there. So he, because I'm cooking. So he's presenting this level of Krishna consciousness, and somehow by his grace, by guru's grace, and by the practice of Krishna bhakti, and by sarasanga and the mercy of Krishna, I'm developing. And I want to grow and go further and further. And I've met with him, and even I've asked, and so that obviously, Guruji, no, you just stay like this on this level, and you don't pay any attention, don't read those things, and don't think like this. So the guru is like suppressing the devotional development of the disciple. At least this verse, is, and Jiva Goswami is saying, if he's not, that means he won't be sat. That means the disciple is not satisfied with the guru, so then he accepts another guru with much deliberation, who he feels will teach him and deliver him and carry him to the level that sees as his goal, and the level that he wants to learn about that stage. So this is quite an. I didn't ever saw this. I just saw this in the last couple of years, and I had some discussions about this with different teachers. It's a very amazing thing. Which means it's not all that, you know, because we make it, we give somebody a label, you know, like Prabhupada uses this term, give the dog a bad name and kill him. This is again a village analogy, because in a village the dogs, they get the rabies. In the cities in America, whatever, Europe, they shoot all the chemicals, so no disease in the dog. He bites you, no problem. But here a dog bites you, you die. It's a big problem. 7 days takes you, and then you're okay for 7 days, and you go crazy and die. So they would say, oh, this dog has rabies, or whatever they say in Hindi. Oh, then they kill him. Maybe a healthy dog, but they don't like the dog, so they give the dog a bad name. Oh, watch out, all your kids, you know, your kid will die. Oh, finish this dog. So then, oh, this devotee, you know, he's bad. He took another guru. He give him a bad name, and then he's no good. Then you become the aparadi. He's not the aparadi for leaving his guru. You are. It's like a real, you know, turnaround. You know, you know the gun. You're pointing a gun at him, and it's actually turning around to you. You know, hey, you're the. You follow? Hey, you're this. Huh? He goes, no, you are. And me. Why are you offending me? Jiva Goswami says. Because what to do? I mean, it's a very grave situation. What I'm trying to emphasize, it's not a casual thing, accepting and rejecting gurus. Okay, I don't like this. Somehow you started at a certain level at a certain time in your life and evolution, and then somehow you grew up, and that's the mercy. The guru, really, frankly speaking, if I'm a father and I have children and they're growing up, that's my happiness, isn't it? Oh, he's walking, now he's crawling, now he's walking, now he's speaking, now he's studying, now he can say ABC. Then the father and mother are happy, the progress, the development, the growth. So no, why are you growing up? Stay in nursery school. Just go like this, make circles on paper all day long. No, I want to write. No, you just go like this. No, I want to say A, B, C, you know, Kaga, Mama, Dada, and whatever, Hindi. So the parents don't want to keep suppressed. So if a guru has disciples and he sees that they're coming up, and they say, and he sees like that, he should, and they're saying, I want to go further. He says, okay, go. Take my blessings, go. Why would he stop? You know, if he knows the disciple, and besides that, it's like, okay, we're all individuals. The guru, we're not in prison. The guru hasn't opened a prison. When we take diksha, we're not arrested. It's not arrest. We're not in jail. We're free. We're free. We freely surrendered, and we can freely leave. It's not some jail that, you know, you break out of the jail, you're a jailbird, and you're under, you know, wanted for arrest or something. I think it's a lot more fluid. It's a lot more fluid and more practical and more realistic than what's been made out to be. I think it's much more, and it's, I don't think it's, that it doesn't appear that a relationship between guru and disciple is totally limiting to the point of stifling, or limiting to the point of stifling or suffocating the disciple. I don't think that doesn't make sense. Because it's an unlimited hierarchy. There's an unlimited hierarchy of spiritual gradation and planetary gradation, so many different levels of spirituality. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita talks about that. Then higher than Brahmaloka is Shivaloka, and higher than Shivaloka is this, and then Dwarka, then Mathura, then Braj, and then the parents, and then the friends, and the parents, and the gopis, and the best of the gopis. And the final hierarchy is Madanakya Mahabhavati Radha, and her, you know, Mahabhav, Modan and Madan Mahabhav. So many gradations. So there's so many gradations of devotees. You know, there's Brahma and the Narada, and then the Pandavas and the Yadavas and Uddhava and this and that, and Nanda Yashoda and Devaki and Nanda Yashoda and this, that, and Chandravali, and then Sakis and Chandravali and Radharani. So the same way in gurus, there's so many gradations. You know, some devotees, they may be there are different levels. It's not they're all gurus are all representatives of Krishna, but the individual guru, how much he's realized Krishna, how much he's representing Krishna, depends on the mercy and his own individual accomplishment and spirituality. He may be on the level of Prem. He may be on the level of Bhav. He may be on the level of Madhyam. He's a Madhyam or he's a whatever. So as far as if the person is Sajatiya and Snigdha, and the final, you're asking me the same question you can ask your gurus. You have a trusted guru, because in principle I would say you know someone that was a god brother, was Diksha from one guru, and he went to another guru because of seriousness to advance and improve. Well, okay, very well. So if you associate with him and he encourages your devotion, and he encourages your guru bhakti to your own guru, and helps you go forward, that's good association. There's no offense. It's not offensive to associate with him, and it's not pratikul to your bhakti. It's not against your devotion. But if he speaks, oh, you know, my guru is good, your guru is no good. If he speaks against your guru, because Krishna says in Gita, no one should upset the faith of another person. He shouldn't disturb the faith. So okay, it's not like he's my god brother, we were friends, and I found this other thing. Oh, you should come, you'll get into this thing. Well, that's your individual. Somehow you individually went that way, so you just show your advanced bhakti or share your realizations and your Krishna consciousness with your friends, without canvassing them, without disturbing them, because you should respect. As you want someone to respect your relationship with your guru, you should respect the relationship of others with their gurus. Guru is the infinite appearing before us. Guru is the infinite manifested in front of us. So that's not a small thing. So guru should always be respected. And then, as I said, you can ask your guru and say, well, I have some doubts about associating with this person. Is it offensive? Or then he'll tell you, no, yes. I remember, and I've heard different gurus, they would ask, different disciples, they would ask their gurus, well, can I associate with so-and-so? And then the guru would say, he's a nice devotee, but, speaking about myself, by the way, like some people come to me and say, Maharaj, it got like this sometimes. Anyway, whatever. But some devotees would say, I really like to come on, when I was leading Prikamas, I used to lead Prikamas in Vrindavan, a few hundred devotees sometimes, in Mayapur, festival time. You know, you came sometimes, 300 devotees, 200 devotees. And then some devotees came, oh, I really like to come on your Prikamas, and I'll hear the katha. But my Guru Maharaj said I shouldn't hear from you. I said, okay, very good. I said, so what should I do? I said, you should respect your guru. Follow your guru. This is your success. you go on Brahma, you go with other devotees. There's no harm. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Tekoriya Aikya. I only want my consciousness purified by the words of my guru. I want you to respect my guru, and you want me to respect your guru. That's simple. Somehow, you have your guru. You're fortunate. You're wonderful. You're so lucky. There's 8 billion people on the planet, and a handful have a guru. Any kind of guru, whoever he may be. There's so many personalities posing as guru. They're all good. They're all doing good. They're all representing some aspect of divinity and some aspect of goodness. Without naming them all, you know better than me all the popular Indian Western gurus. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, the outside of Gaudiya Sampradaya. But they're all doing their good deeds and trying to improve the situation and help people. So that should be respected and honored. But for me, my guru is everything. Every disciple, just like you ask somebody, oh, I saw your Giriraj. You should come see my Giriraj. How is he my Giriraj and my Giriraj and my Giriraj and my Giriraj? Everybody's my Giriraj. If every man in the village says that this woman next to me is my wife, then where do I stand? Hey, that's my wife. No, she's my, you know, everybody guy in the village says, I said, wait a minute, there's no, because love means mamata. Mamata means mine, mom, me, mom. Mamata means tendency to be me. Ta means tendency. So I want, this is my Giriraj, Acha. Even there's two disciples of the same guru, one saying, well, my guru said. And then the other side was saying, my guru said. But your guru, you're saying my guru, my guru is my guru. So that's how individual, two God brothers are the same guru, they're both saying my guru. You know, my guru, I heard a lecture from my guru the other day, and he's telling a God brother. And the God brother says, Acha, who's your guru, by the way? Oh, you know, same. So is mine. I've had this experience. This is good. No, don't think this is wrong. This is good. You should have that much mamata. I don't know anybody else. I know he's my guru. You're a guru? No. Yeah. You were initiated the same time as me. Same day. Sure. So you think we're both the same? No, he's my guru. No, this is good. This is the nishta, guru nishta, guru bhakti. Question? No, you. Yeah. You. I think that was his question. You were just you were assisting his question. Yeah.
Like
you're Russian too?
No, I'm not Russian.
Oh, horrible. Well,
but I speak Russian, but I'm not Russian.
Oh, you're Croatian or something like
that. No, I'm Moldovan.
Oh, that's an old ancient country, Moldova.
Oh, well,
I think they have some of my books in their language, I think so.
My mother language is Romanian, though.
Wow, really? A lot of languages. Romanian. Old countries, old languages. Okay.
Would you like to say why Krishna is bending in three, like why Krishna is standing in Tribhanga form?
I gave a lecture on this 10 years ago. Tribhanga Lalitani Taprakasham Govinda Madhupurasham Tamamacham Tribhanga Bhanki Vihari Bhanki Vihari. Why is Krishna blue? Why is Krishna standing in threefold bending form? Why not? Because there's different answers. Acharyas, I am not a realized soul. I have not had darshan of Krishna. I never had the opportunity to meet him and ask him that question, because he would know best why he stands like that. But our rasik janas and our acharyas, mahajans, they give answers which I'll share with you, and we can relish their viewpoints and relish their feelings. So one says that if you put a heavy weight on your back, then you can't walk very straight. You know, some heavy, like a rucksack or whatever, you put some gold in the back. Gold is very heavy, big chunk. You'll bend over because the weight, heavy weight. When you see men in India, they're carrying cement bags on their back. They don't walk like this. They bend over like this and put their weight on their legs. So Krishna is bent like that because he doesn't have enough strength to carry the love of Radharani. You've heard this? I find this is one of the nicest answers, being in, you know, favorable to Radharani. As in Manjri Bhava. Manjri Bhava means Radha Sneha Adik. We have more affection for Radha than Krishna. Radha Sneha Adik. So I like this. The Radharani, Radharani's love is so heavy, I can't bear it. I can't. But Radharani, she's standing like this. Mm-hmm. Also, they describe she has slight threefold bending form, a little bit knee, a little bit hips and neck, but even then, not really. She's just depicted like that. She's just straight, and she's carrying all the love of God. all the avatars, all the expansions, thousands, Swayam Krishna's too, Bhagavan Swayam, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's the greatest lover. He's the totality of love, the origin of all prem, prem srup Sri Krishna. All the totality, the ocean of unlimited ocean of love is contained within Krishna. He's a prem vishaya, and Radharani is a prem ashraya. But she can bear all of his love and not bend over. Just, but Krishna's like, he's bending over and he's crying for help. How is he crying for help? By playing his flute. Help, 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 help. Like someone cries, help, help. So, because we say when Krishna plays his flute, he calls his gopis. That's why Nanda Maharaj is getting eaten by the snake in Ambikavan. Vidyadhara, one demigod, Gandharva, became cursed to be a snake because he laughed at some ugly sages or something, because the Gandharvas are very beautiful. So the snake is eating him, Vidyadhara. And then he said, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabahu, Krishna, please save me. And Krishna went there and saved him. So he cried out for help, and Krishna helped him. So Krishna's bent over from the weight of Radharani's love, and then he's playing his flute, which is his crying for help. Oh, I can't carry all this weight. So then he distributes it to all, the weight of Radharani's love is distributed by Lord Chaitanya to all the jivas in the Kali Yuga. So every one of us is carrying a little bit of the weight of Radharani's love, Radharani's prem. That's what it means. Radharani instills the prem in the heart. Krishna instills the prem in the heart, then he relishes it. Prem is not within us. Just like I said about stairati. It's like I have this question. How can you have a stairati if you don't even have bhakti? In the BBT, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's some verses that one says one thing, another says another thing, but one is correctly translated. It says, Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun, Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun, Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij. It's talking about Jiva Tattva, the actual position of the Jiva. Chaitanya Charitamrita, famous verse, Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun. He says, the Jiva living in and he's wandering all over the universe. Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun, Bhagyavan Jeev. Kaun means somebody, Kaun means somebody, some lucky Bhagyavan, some lucky Jiva, receives, it says, Bhakti Lata, it says, Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun, Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai, Guru Krishna Bhakti Lata Bij. By the mercy of Krishna or Guru, somebody, some jiva that's wandering around, doesn't just causeless, he receives pai, the word P-A-Y means he receives the seed of bhakti from Krishna directly, through a book, through a lecture, through any means, or from Guru. So bhakti is not in the jiva. It's right there on CCBBT. He receives it. If you receive something, I receive some money in the mail. That means you don't have the money. It's not in your pocket. It came in the mail. Right? I received a gift. It doesn't mean the gift is with you. And then it means you don't have it. Oh, I got surprised. You sent me a gift in the mail. Like some of my friends, they go to Puri sometimes. And they send me Mahaprasad. I don't expect it. I don't know what. And then I get, oh, that's nice. Courier mail Mahaprasad. So I received it. So we receive bhakti. So stai rati means, stai rati, that manifests at the level of bhava bhakti. What is your individual relationship with Krishna? There's no, otherwise you can take on your, says the jiva is like a crystal. He takes on the color of his sangha, of his association. You know crystal? Spotika. You know crystal, glass, and glass. You put a red object near it, all the facets and little angles and facets in the crystal, they reflect. It looks, the crystal is clear glass, but you put a red ball next to it, it looks red. It looks, takes on. So if you associate with devotees, then you get, you pick up their bhav, their mood, their stairati. So this is important point about this whole thing, because all these points are important. Bhakti comes, now we have bhakti, it means the tendency to serve, we're serving Krishna. Then we develop that, then we sadhu sangha, then this and that. And from that sadhu sangha, then the stairati comes from Guru. The bhakti comes from Guru. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is describing how does a sadhaka who's practicing Vaidhi sadhana or Raghunuga sadhana, how does he enter the level of Bhava Bhakti? That descends. The pure bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, descends. It says Amshu, Premamshu. It descends. Pure bhakti is a combination of Ladini Shakti and Samvit. Ladini means the ability to love. Krishna has to give us, put love in our heart, and then when Krishna instills love in the heart of the jiva, or Radharani, or one of the Nitya Parishads, then we can offer that love back to Krishna. Krishna gives the apple tree. We pick the apple. It's his apple. We offer it back to him. But he gave us the tree to give us the apple to offer it back to him. So this all happens at the level of bhava. Then the pure bhakti comes. That's ladini. And knowledge means awareness, full awareness of ourselves. We'll see God, we'll see ourselves. And that mixes with our bhakti that Guru gave us. And then that bhakti, which is karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti, or so many mixtures of jnana and karma. Anyabhi lashita sunyam, jnana karma adhyanamritam, anukulina krishnanu shinanam bhakti ujjate. All different aspects of astrology mixed up, astrology mixed bhakti, and you know, all this is gyan. All varieties of health. Oh, I have to go pancha karma. I have to do this fast and that. So we're mixing too many health concerns. Unnecessary extra. You know, the basic maintenance. But then too much crazy about this. This juice, that juice. So this is called karma mishra. Karma, my body. So all of that out, then we're eligible. That's what sadhana does. Purifies the mind and heart and consciousness. Chaito dharva namarjan. Then that descends. And when bhava bhakti comes, which is the pure bhakti, then that manifests as stairati, either the one you receive from Guru when you've been meditating on, or the one you've been hankering for. Then you get stairati, then you begin pure bhakti, and then very soon you attain prema. But that state of bhava bhakti, Rupa Goswami says, is sudurlabha. Sudurlabha and moksha lagutakrit. He said there's two characteristics of bhava. Moksha, Laguta, Lagu. Lagu, Guru and Lagu. Lagu means light, small. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So Lagu means small, means Moksha Lagutakrit. That he thinks that Moksha is, I don't care about going back to Godhead. Before that, so many devotees, before Baba, you know, they have an idea, oh, I want emancipation, I want liberation, I don't want to take another birth, I want to go to the spiritual world, I'm suffering so much. All so many karmas and so many mixtures in our devotion. And so this is contamination. This is not pure bhakti. So when one comes to bhava, then he says, oh, what is moksha? It's light. It's insignificant. Moksha lagutakrit. But sudurlabha. Durlabha, difficult and very difficult to attain bhava. So that when we talk about stairati, which is my permanent loving mood, All jivatmas are sat. They're all existing. Every jivatma has a quality of existence, sat. And we have potential for bliss, bliss potential. Sachit anand. Mostly it's just we have awareness. I exist, I am, and I exist eternally. So basically we're sandini shakti, we're sat. And then this samvit, because samvit and ladini descend, as what it says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It means we don't, just like bhakti, we don't have bhakti. So what is bhakti? Bhakti is, the pure bhakti is that ladini and samvit. So because Guru or Krishna gives bhakti in our heart, that's the beginning. You can say, we begin to serve Krishna. We begin to love Krishna. We begin to understand Krishna. But so much illusion, so much confusion about sadhana. It's called sadhana sadhya vibram. This is called, in the Sandarvas, bewilderment about the practice of sadhana and the goal. This is the biggest problem. And this is, in Madhurya Kanamani, this is explained under Anartha Nivritti. One of the four kinds of Anartha Nivritti. There's different types of Anartha Nivritti. One is confusion about how to practice sadhana, and what is the actual goal? Is the goal, to go to Nisringadeva? No, the goal is to go to Jagannath. No, the goal is Sitaram. No, the goal is to become a coward boy. No, the goal is, you ask 10 devotees, they have 10 different ideas. And they all say they're Gaudiya Vaishnava. What is Gaudiya Vaishnava sadhana? What is Gaudiya Vaishnava siddhanta? The proper path, the proper system. So much confusion. So it's a long way to go. What was your question? Yeah, thank you. Very good. Can you do that again? Can you just do the whole thing and then we can think? Vamshidari Krishna Marari. That's one thing, the weight. And the other thing that I've read is that Krishna is Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath. All are Krishna. All are Madhurya Krishna. All are Madhurya Mai Krishna. All Madan Mohan loves Radharani. Govindaji loves Radharani, and Gopinath loves Radharani. They're all forms of Krishna, Radharani's heroes, Nayaks, Nayaka. Dear Lita Nayak Krishna, dear Adatta, dear Prashant. So he's standing like that. The first bend from his feet, the first bend is his knees, then his waist, and then his head. So from his knees to his feet, that bend, he's bending like that to represent Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan is the foundation, the basis of devotion. Basis of devotion means the foundation, means that when you build a house, has the foundation. You have to make the ground strong, firm ground and strong basement, and then you build. So the foundation of bhakti is attraction to Krishna. Attraction. Without attraction to Krishna, without interest, you can't go forward. So Madan Mohan represents that attraction. It takes us away from the maya attraction and the illusory attraction of the samsara, and attracts us to divinity, to Krishna, to Radha, to spirituality. So this is Madan Mohan. So his first curve represents Madan Mohan. Then from his knees to his waist, that represents Govindaji. And from his waist, and then his neck, and his legs to his waist, that's basically Madan Mohan. Then his waist and chest, that's Govindaji. Then his face is Gopinath. So he's standing to remind of these three things, Sambandha Videya Prayojana. That this is the foundation in the practice, becomes strong because stomach, the chest is heart. Govindaji represents the heart. Govindaji is the heart of devotion. Anahata Chakra. This is Anahata Chakra in yoga. So Anahata means heart chakra. It's in the region of the heart in that area. One of the seven chakras. So this means feeling, love, sentiments, devotion, represented by the heart chakra, heart. So Govindaji is the heartly deity of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. That's where everywhere Radha Govindaji is there. Most Bengali, if they buy Radha Krishna, what are their name? Radha Govinda. Because Radha Govinda is Rupa Goswami's Thakurji. Radha Govinda. So that this represents, because the chest is the prana. The chest is the heart, the life center. So Govindaji, this is Krishna's chest, right? His waist, his bending at the waist, and his chest, this is Govindaji. Then his face is Gopinath. This is a Rasalila. And so this represents the Prayojan. Rasalila is the summation of all Krishna's rasas. The totality of all Krishna's rasas, the Gona rasas and Mukhya rasas, all rasas are all blending and fully represented in the Rasalila. It is the most satisfying and blissful experience of Krishna and his most advanced, pure, loving devotees, the Gopikas. So this Gopinath, he's bent at the neck in his face. This represents Gopinath, the Prayojan, the goal. The goal is to serve Krishna in the Rasalila. And all that's the epitome of all the Leelas. Just like in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's describing, you know, different, many naimitic leelas of killing demons. It's also describing some nitya leela, astakali leela, are also there. Krishna going out with the coward boys and playing with the coward boys. Forget about killing Aristasura or Agasura, but he's playing with the coward boys and going out with the cows and coming back with the cows, which the gopis are glorifying in Venugita, chapter 21. 10th canto, they're glorifying his cow herding and moving here and there. And so this Banbihar, those are his eternal leelas. But then the main leela that's developed and described the most is Krishna's Ras Leela. There's no description of Julan Leela in the Bhagavad Puran, or Jal Kali's mentioned briefly in the Ras Leela, playing in the water. But no mention of holy Leela. These are yearly Leelas. So Ras Leela, because it represents the epitome of Rasaraj Mahabhavati, Rasaraj Sri Krishna Mahabhavati Radharani, the epitome of their loving sentiments are all fully expressed there. So this is the last from Krishna's neck, represents the Ras Leela and Gopinath and the goal. So there's three, because there's three levels of progress. So Krishna's threefold bending form is representing these three levels. This is one explanation I heard. Another way, and the real thing is that when the gopis are describing Krishna's beauty in Veno Gita, they say Barhapitam Narapapu Natabara. They said, you're dressed like a dramatic actor, and the way you stand, the gopis in many places they glorify Krishna's threefold bending form, because it makes Krishna look extremely attractive and extremely sexy. You know, sexy? He looks very romantic and very attractive. Because this is what is it, can you tell Haridas Bankaro? Haridas Bankaro. This is, you see, what is it in a woman that attracts a man? A man by structure, a man generally is just kind of straight. He doesn't have any curves or, you know, the woman represents beauty. In the material sense, the form, the basic form that Krishna's made, the Maya, whatever you want to call Maya, the form of woman is considered a form of beauty. The curves and the various parts and design of the basic form of a female is considered to be very attractive, because it's movement. There's a movement, and the movement is there, and balance, and art, all these things. It's just like stick figure, like a man or something. It looks like a stick figure, a straight, you know, broad shoulder, you know, big one line like this, the broad shoulders, then a narrow waist if he's like really, you know, strong guy, and then two little legs like that. He just walks like a robot and looks like a robot, but he's my man or he's my husband or whatever. And then the woman is, it's like, and the man's like, wow. So. Can you imagine a man? It's like when I remember distributing the first BTGs I distributed in 1975 in LA. I had a picture of Krishna sitting on a rock. Krishna is sitting on a rock, and he had this really shiny, day glow, yellow, shiny dhoti with had little stripes on it, too, because it was new. They didn't know so much. It looked like more like a sari than a dhoti. You know, usually, saris, it's like yellow, but it has that kind of gold inset stripes or something, you know, some design. So it was that kind of dhoti, and he had this little chudder on his chest, and his hair was loose and long, before the prophet got him, you know, it was more hippie type. It's really long, it's coming way down to his like half his back, and he had this really long flute, and there was a little silver gray monkey, like Hanuman type monkey. He was there, which is unusual for Braj, but he was sitting there listening, and Krishna had one foot in the Yamuna or something, is sitting on the rock next to the Yamuna, and he's playing it. Looks so beautiful, so beautiful. Now we pass out the BTG, and people get this. I said, what are you saying? I said, oh, it's a beautiful picture. Who is this girl? Who is this lady? I said, this is the most beautiful lady in the world, in the creation, in all the worlds. I said, really, who is she? And they said, this is also the most beautiful man in all creation. This is God. God has all the beauty of a woman and all the beauty of man, everything in one. You know, Gauranga. So he said, wow, looks like a lady to me. He said like that. You know. American person. So Krishna, why is he standing in threefold bending form? Because just like Rupa Goswami says, Nectar Devotion. Why does Krishna run behind the cows every morning? And when his mother says, we have so many thousands and thousands of servants that take out the cows. Why do you and Balaram, why do you have to take out the cows? You're the prince, you're the Brajasuno, the Yuvaraj. You're the son of the, you're the prince of Vrindavan, the son of Nandababa. Why do you have to roam with the cows? Oh, mother, I really have to roam with the cows. We really have to, you know, the cows, they won't go anywhere. Look, they're not, look, they're just standing here looking back. They're just looking at me. They won't even go if I don't go. See, look, hello, see that. If I play the flute, then they move. Yeah, but anybody can play the flute, you know, so many other coward men can play. Oh, yeah, that's true. But, no, but really, you know, we have fun. It's just really fun. No, but there's so many stickers and thorns hurt your feet. No, the chamari deer, they go and they sweep with their tails and they sweep all the footpaths, make everything smooth. And then Madhavangal says, yeah, not only that, the trees are dripping so much honey, whatever I don't eat that gets by me, that gets into the sand and makes the sand even softer. It's like honey soft sand. Honey soft sand. I mean, imagine. Imagine a beach. Visit our beaches. Honey soft sand. You can eat the sand. Spread it on your toast. Krishna, you know, Yashoda makes so many reasons why you shouldn't go. And he said, no. So Rupa Goswami says, why does, on the pretext of taking out cows, why does he go out for 9 hours every day? Only so he can meet with Radharani and enjoy in the bushes of Vrindavan. This is it says Safala. He says Kaishor Safala Ratri Kaishor Ratri Krita Kaishor Safala Radharani Sangha. You know, like this. It says one verse in Bhaktivinoda Sanat. The fruit is said Kaishor Safala Fal. You know, Fal Safal Safal. Krishna made his youth fruitful by meeting with Radharani day and night. Ratri Krita, day and night. Intimately with Radharani, enjoying with her. This was the fruit. This is the fruit of Krishna's youth. So why does Krishna go out behind the cows so he can meet Radharani? Why does Krishna play his flute so he can meet Radharani? Why does Krishna stand in threefold bending form to attract Radharani? That is it. That is the main thing. Because he looks beautiful. Would you love Krishna as much as you do now if he just stood there like Ramchandra? Head perfectly, neck perfectly straight.
Yamuna says, but there are people that they like still.
Huh?
Yamuna says, but there are people that they still like him like that.
That's okay. That's why he's there. Let them like. I have no problem. To each his own, as we say. To each his own. If that is your choice, that's your choice. You have that free will, that independence. I think Krishna is like heart. It's for me that Krishna's Tri Bhanga pose. Why does Krishna stand in Tri Bhanga pose? To steal my heart. And that's exactly what he does with all the gopis. He's Manohar, Krishna Manohar. He steals their hearts. They can't get that form out of their mind. It's like some man sees some lady, oh, I can't forget her. She's like, wow, too much. Mm-hmm. They go crazy over the curves and form of a woman. Well, the gopis go crazy, absolutely, totally crazy over the form of Krishna. Madhurya Rupam. Rupa Madhurya, Vena Madhurya. Prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, this is Madhurya Purushottam Sri Krishna. Luscious, attractive, and powerful, sweet, charming, heart melting. I mean, Radharaman, wow. He's stolen the hearts of everybody from Peru to China to Delhi to everywhere. Radha Ramana Giridhari. He's inside my mandir. You can look inside.
I have the same affinity though.
What's up? Yeah, it's like this. I think it must be around 6. What time is it? Huh?
6.
Exactly. 6:10. But I was late starting.
Right, yeah.
So do we extend or we end?
I'm for extension.
You don't want to make any decision. What do you say?
Extend.
That's all. You asked a question. You asked what? Nothing about kids, family, husband, in-laws. No, we'll take any question, but no questions about husband, kids, family, in-laws, money. Okay, I have no questions. that's enough for me. So, yeah? No. No, it's Nittai's turn. If you want to go do it turn wise.
I don't want to disturb any of your ideas, so don't mind.
No.
If some of my ideas don't agree with yours, then just forget about it.
No, everything's been tying in perfectly. But I had one question, it's a little bit more esoteric. In Ujjvala and Nilamani, I've been studying, you know, the one with Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti, Black Horse for Comments.
Which book?
Ujjvala and Nilamani.
Yes.
And they're talking about the messengers.
Yeah,
and just get your understanding on this is that, you know, we saw a little bit earlier where there are different grades of gopis. You know, in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his comment even says there are Majjhima and Kanishtha gopis and Doloka Vrindavan. But your question, it's like they're still being, you know, there's still gradations, you know, being trained.
That's why I told you hierarchies on the
head. Yeah. So it's like, but what I was reading now is that there's one type of gopi is never associated with Krishna. So she's obsessed with, you know, Purva Rag. She wants to, you know, she wants to associate with Krishna, and she hasn't. And then there's another who
has. Well, that Purva Rag is one of the four types of separation.
Right. Yeah.
But she'll meet. She will meet.
Yeah. Well, see, that's my question. Is like your understanding is that her eternal position just to be
always? No, Radharani herself. She also experiences Purva Rag.
Right, yeah.
So this is it's just a feature. I don't know, maybe the translation is not clear or not accurate. But first of all, a Sakhi Bhav, what is the meaning of Sakhi Bhav? Sakhi Bhav, they are the gopis that have intimate union with Krishna, Madhurya Ras, all of them. Even the wives of the brahmanas, you know, the yajnapatnis, they wanted to be with Krishna, but then their attachment to dharma, they couldn't give up that swadharma. So then Krishna met them, accepted their offering of foods, and they were totally in love with Krishna. But then they couldn't stay with Krishna because they didn't have that gopi bhav. They didn't have the bhav of gopi. They heard so much about Krishna, they fell in love with Krishna. And when they saw him, they actually fainted. When they actually went out, they never saw him before. They lived in the border of Braj, the Yajnapatnis. They lived in Bhatrol. Bhatrol, you can go there today, it's near Akuragat. It's not far from Vrindavan. Now you can walk there regularly, half a day, cold season. Bhatrol. And then that's where the Yajnapatnis, they fed Krishna. It's a famous place, Leela's Deli. So when they went out and they saw, I heard so much about Krishna, but when they saw him, they fainted. They fainted at his feet. And then one Yajnapatni, she couldn't get out from her house, almost like the gopis. So it says she was feeling, so her Purva Rag was, she wanted so much to meet Krishna, she couldn't even meet him. So the Purva Rag means the intense attachment before you meet. So she had that Purva Rag, intense Purva Rag, even the Yajnapatni. And the other ones, somehow they got out, but she was restrained from her house. So she just closed her eyes and she thought of Krishna. Then it says there, like it says for the gopis, that she gave up her body. So Vishnath says that Krishna gave her pure spiritual body as a gopi. And then she went out and met with Krishna and enjoyed with Krishna.
So she wanted that, and she was restrained. So her Purvarag, she got so much attachment to Krishna, and Purvarag, then Krishna arranged even that Yajnapatnis could attain a suitable body and meet with Krishna. That's in Atikas. So any Sakhi who's in a Leela, Ujjala Nilamani, the whole book is all about Madhurya Ras, and all the Sakhis and the Manjaris are also mentioned there, because they're a Sakhi also. And of course they don't have the intimate relation with Krishna. The Sakhis do. So the Purvarag is just one stage of love that's experienced all the time. It's not just when you grow up before they met. Because only here, only in Boma Vrindavan, this is a speciality of Boma Vrindavan, is the demons have a shape and a form, and there it's just a rumor. There's no real demons. Just the idea, I think there's a demon. And the other thing is that Krishna is born and grows up. It's only here in Boma Vrindavan. So there, when Radharani's born, and she's a little toddler crawling around, she's fully in love with Krishna, but now it's Purvarag. So there's so many songs by Chandidas. Chandidas and Vidyapati. Vidyapati and Chandidas. They've been translated in English by Prabhupada's disciple, Dasara Sutta. Probably available on net, PDF or whatever. Chandidas bhajans and Vidyapati. Very nice. Many bhajans he has about Purvarag. Radharani's Purvarag. And Krishna also. Radha and Krishna falling in love and sending love letters back and forth and many, many things. So that was part of the Boma Vrindavan pastime. But there, Nitya Lila, there, Nitya Kishori Pritamajori Shri Radhe. Nitya Kishori Pritamajori Jaya Jaya Radhe. So Radharani's 14 years and 2 months and 15 days eternally. And Krishna's 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days eternally. This is told in Siddha Krishnadasa's books. That's how this age is given. So this Purvarag is like that.
So it's not like an eternal mood at that
particular. No, that when they grow up, they experience it like they're not. But there, they have Purvarag. Oh, they feel like that. Oh, every day feels like I'm just falling in love with Krishna. So Purvarag is also there. Even on, they feel separate. Oh, you know, when will I meet Krishna? I don't know if I'll ever see Krishna. Although they just met him. But Purvarag can also, it's like Man comes and goes, Purvarag comes and goes, and Premvaichitya comes and goes, and then Durvasa, or Purvasarag, means that sometimes Krishna wanders far away to Kamivan, and it seems like he's gone so far away, I don't know if I'll ever see him again, so they experience that type of separation. Then at night he calls him with a flute, then they meet again. So there's union and separation. Union and separation are going on throughout the 24 hours. There's eight types of union. These are described actually in Ujjala Nilamani. Eight types of union, and there's eight types of separation, but four major categories. It's called Viparlamba and Sambhog. There's eight categories of Sambhog, meeting and enjoying together, and there's eight categories of Vira, separation.
If it describes another one who is, she has associated with Krishna. Her love is so great that she forgot that she
has
associated. So she's always
feeling
like I haven't had association with Krishna.
Oh, that's called anurag. That's all the time also. Yeah, it's inconceivable, unbelievable. Who is that? Who is that boy on top of Govardhan Hill? Lita says, Radharani, that's Krishna. No, I know Krishna. I was just with Krishna and Radhakunda. I never seen this boy. There's something new. It looks something like Krishna, but much better, much more attractive. What are you talking about? This is anurag. Rag means attachment. Anu means following. You know, following attachment, following attachment. You know, the newer and newer. Anu, anu. You got a question?
What do you like to say about Vishakha Devi?
What?
Would you like to say something about Vishakha Devi?
Vishakha. Vishakha, what the Acharyas tell, because Raghunath Das Goswamipad, he's initiated in Vaita Parivar. Yadanandan Thakur. And Yadanandan Thakur is initiated by Srila Dvaita Acharya Prabhu. And So Raghunath Das, as Tulsi Mundry, he's or she is situated in the her Yukteswari is Vishakha Sakhi. So you see many prayers and many mentions of Vishakha throughout the Stavavali writings of Raghunath Das. He writes a whole prayer called Vishakhananda Bidastotram. And these are prayers which will give bliss to. He wrote these prayers to give bliss and happiness to Vishakha. So it's almost like you can imagine you're working in an office and you have a boss, and you're working under that boss. So you write an asticum to the boss. You write 8 prayers, sir, boss. I wrote these prayers to glorify you. Acha, okay, you know, you're good. You want to need a raise? How about so? Her Yukteswari is her boss, you can say. And she wrote a whole prayer to give her bliss, to make her happy. But interesting enough, how do you make Vishakha happy? So you might think, is it a prayer like the prayer to the boss? It would all be about the boss's glories and virtues and how great he is. But this Vishakha Nandana Bidastotram by Raghunath Das Tavavali, this prayer gives bliss to Vishakha. Why? Because it's not about Vishakha. Just like Jiva Goswami wrote a book called Madhav Mahotsav. Madhav Mahotsav is a play, it's a drama describing a leela of Radharani being coronated the queen of Vrindavan. Yeah, we translated that and printed that book, Madhav Mahotsav, and Bhanuswami. So people say, why is it called Madhav Mahotsav? It's a whole Radha Mahotsav. But that's described in the book, and you have to read it, find out. So then this is called Vishak, but this whole prayer is all about. It's all about, why does it give bliss to Radharani? Because every verse is glorification. Why does it give bliss to Vishakha? Because every verse is glorification of Radharani. Because Vishakha is one. She's one with Radharani in birth date, in bhav, in feelings, complexion, everything practically one with Radharani. And that's why Vishakha, V means no, and Sakha means branch. Bahusaka inantascha Buddha Bhavi Samant. In the Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddha Eke Ha Kuranandana. Bahusaka Anantascha Buddha Bhavi Samantvita. Isn't it? Verse in the Gita, it says the man who is irresolute, a man who is not fixed, has not fixed his mind, then his mind is many branched. Bahusaka. Saka means branches. So she's Vishaka. She has no branch. She has no difference. She's one. So Vishaka, she has certain expertises or special talents, and these talents are being appreciated by Raghunath Das, and he's praying in his Swasankalpa Pratana or whatever, prayers for perfection. He prays to Vishakha in a few places. Oh Vishakha, you are the most expert at telling jokes and most expert singer. So I'm praying to you, when will you teach me the art of joking? The art of joking and the art of singing. So I can joke and sing for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So Vishakha is obviously a very expert joker, telling jokes for the pleasure and amusement and entertainment of Radha and Krishna. And she's a very fantastic singer, Vishakha. So these are repeatedly in several places, Raghunath Das Goswami is citing these qualities of Vishakha. And Vishakha's nature, she's Bhama Madhya, like Radharani. She's not Bhama Prakara. Lalita's Bhama Prakara, very harsh. Left wing, opposing and harsh. But Bhama Madhya means, Bhama means left wing or opposing, contrary. But then Madhya means, but in the middle, not too harsh. There's Lagu Madhya and Prakara. So her bhava is not lightweight or not insignificant. It's not heavy like Lalita. It's just middle, balanced, kind of equipoised. She's a little cool. And Vishakha, she always supports Radharani. And sometimes goes against Lalita. Lalita wants Radharani to be in Man. And Vishakha says, no, Krishna, don't listen to Lalita. You should give up your mind, give up your unfavorable mood and meet with Krishna again. So Vishakha has many things are told about her, but these are the main things I've seen in Stavavali, which probably has the most She's briefly described in terms of her complexion and her dress and whatnot in Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika by Rupa Goswami. In terms of her qualities and her talents and her sevas, they're extensively described also as far as her sevas in Govinda Lilamrita. You see that Vishakha is dressing Radharani and doing many nice services. And if you're in, that's the point, when you're with a specific Yudheshwari, whenever you read the Astakali Lila, where that Yudheshwari is there, or that Mantri is there, then you know that you're with them. You know, like you move with your team, and your cricket team goes there, but then you go with them. So you see a service, Radharani Pratak Lila. Radharani's waking up in Yavat Gram. 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 to 8 o'clock in the morning, she's getting up in her house after getting up in Nikunj and going home. And every day, Radharani's grandmother would come to meet her. Her name is Mukura. She lives here in Mukurai. So she would walk, maybe she had another house in Yavat. She would come to meet her granddaughter to see how you're doing over here with your in-laws. Because if the grandmother comes, it's like the mother, but the mother's not allowed. The mother can't go to the mother to your in-laws and meet you. It's not, you can go visit your mother, but there's some rules about etiquette and culture here. So Radharani's mother, Kirtida, she can't come there, but she does. What does she do? Every day, whenever Radharani's, only when Radharani's staying in Yavat, Kirtida is so worried about her that she sends two girls every day, two house servants. They live in Vrishabhanupur to assist, her, Kirtida, and take care of the household affairs or whatnot, or take care of Sridham or whatever. So they go every day. They go to see Radha. They bring sometimes remnants of Krishna, or they bring things. And they ask on behalf of Kirtida, they say, are you, everything's okay? Maybe they bring her a box of cookies made by Kirtida, homemade cookies, whatever, I don't know. Some expression of motherly love. Says, everything okay? Is Jatila, your mother-in-law, is giving you a hard time? No, it's okay. Then every day she's coming. But when Radharani goes to Barsana, then Kirtida doesn't have to send anybody. She's there with her, right? So Radharani's 3 months in Barsana, then 3 months in Yavat, then 3 months in Barsana, like this. So 6 months a year Barsana, 6 months in Yavat. The schedule is there. So now Mukura comes to wake up Radharani, and Radharani, she says, oh Radharani, she said, what is this? And it's sunrise. Radharani's still in bed, she's so tired from rasa dance, she's still sleeping. And then Vishakha, they take turns, but this particular Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna's Kavraj is telling, this particular night or for this week or whatever, Vishakha is staying, living with Radharani. So when Vishakha is staying, I mean, Vishakha lives in Yavat already. All the Sakis and Mandris live in Yavat. They get married, live in Yavat. Or sometimes Mandris aren't married and they live in Yavat also. It's possible. But they live there with Radharani. So Vishakha is staying in Radharani's house. Not with her husband, not in her house, in Yavat. She's staying with Radharani and helping Radharani serve Radharani. So she's there, and then Mukura says, oh, what is this? Lying on top of Radharani, you're not awake yet at sunrise. And lying on top of you, I see this yellow cheddar. There's a yellow cheddar lying on top of you. I saw Krishna wearing this cheddar last night. How is this cheddar doing on top of you? What are you doing? And Vishakha looks and says, oh no, what is this? and then she looks at that, and she's, oh no, and then she glances at Radharani and conveys by her glance like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? And then she's fast, she's quick thinking. So then she looks at, and there's this lattice window. You know these old palaces, they have these stone windows. It's called lattice work. It's like interlaced like this, you know, stones going like this. And then she looks, and then she points, and she says, look, oh, Mukura, look, see, the sun is rising. See, the rays of the rising sun are shining on Radharani's blue cloth and makes it look like it's yellow. Don't you understand? And so why Vishakha is speaking this and looking at Mukura and pointing, and they're both looking at the window, then a Manjari, me, takes that yellow chadar off Radharani and immediately puts her blue chadar on top. And when Mukra looks back, she says, it is blue. I told you, Vishakas, I told you it was blue. So, I'm sorry, I have to go now. And she was so embarrassed. Mukra was so embarrassed. I must be. And then she's walking out. I'm getting old now. Maybe I'm going blind. I can't see so straight, you know. So this is I was just meditating in this service this morning. I was doing mala about Vishakha. And I'll be there with Vishakha. And then, you know, I'm staying overnight with Radharani. And then, because she can't do everything. She's doing this. So then who's, because it doesn't say there. Just as Vishakha says. And then she replaced. How she replaced. So then the mantra is there. So like this. It's very nice. Yeah? So Vishakha means a lot. If you're in her party, then, or I mean, basically, Raghunath Das Goswami has so many prayers to Lalita Sakhi also, because Lalita Sakhi is the main all for all sadhakas, for everyone. I mean, once you're there, then you're doing your Nitya Seva with your Guru Sakhi and living all the Mantri Sakhis, everyone together. Even there, of course, the chief Mantri is a Rupa Mantri. And the chief Sakhi is Lita Sakhi. They're the main ones. And they're controlling all the Mantris and Sakhis. So even there, Raghunath Das, and he's in Vishakha's party, but he's making so many prayers to Lita. Oh, Lita Sakhi, it is only by your mercy that anyone can attain the service of Radha and Krishna. Please be merciful to me. Please, oh, Lita Sakhi, please take me to the different Sakhis and introduce me. And this is in Sadaka, prayer of a Sadaka. And when he attains Boma Vrindavan, when he's born from the womb of a gopi in Boma Vrindavan. So he's praying in this book, Stavavali, he's saying, Oh, Lalita Sakhi, you're the leader, so please take me to each one of the Sakhis, because I want to learn the different services from them. I want to learn to sing, I want to learn dancing, I want to learn dancing, and how to play the veena, and how to tell riddles and how to recite poetry. I want you to take me to Radharani so I can learn these things. So he's not praying to Vishakha. He's in Vishakha's Yuteshwari. He's showing deference and showing respect to Lalita Sakhi because she's the primary one. Although everyone's under her. So even he's praying, oh Lalita, please take me to Radharani. So then Lalita says, oh, this is his newcomer, this is Navadasi. This is Navadasi. Nava means new Dasi. Nava Manjri Dasi. This is so-and-so Navadasi Tulsi Dasi. And she wants Tulsi Manjri. She wants to learn these things. So then Radharani, she personally teaches that, personally Radharani will teach the newcomer, the when you attain Prema and enter Boma Vrindavan, Radharani will teach you four arts, Charkala, four arts. How to tell riddles, it's called Prahali. How to tell riddles, how to dance, how to write poetry, how to write poetry and speak poetry, you know, love poems or whatever for the pleasure of Krishna, Radha and Krishna together, and then how to play veena, kachapi veena. Radharani plays, there's different types, kachapi. How to play the veena, Radharani will directly teach. This is an amazing thing. Raghunath Das Goswami, if you want to, I can tell you, make your life very focused and very fast. If you want to cultivate very special, you know, focus your bhajan on Manjri Bhav and the service of Radharani, you just read especially all the Stavavali by Raghunath Das Goswami. Stavamala, there's one book called Utkalika Valerie. Utkalika Valerie, which is separate by Rupa Goswami. There's some verses and some ideas in there about serving as a mandri and serving Radharani as her dasi, her kinkri, her maidservant, her dasi, you know? Like maidservant, mandri. But the totality of Stavamala is very nice, but as far as specifically mandri bhav and cultivating the bhav, the seva, the mood, the meditation, Stavavali is the best. That means Vilapkusa Manjali, Rajivilastava, then there's part 3 and part 4, Stavavali. There's 4 parts. Sometimes it comes like this. That's what I have, 4 parts. And especially with the commentaries, not just the English translation, with the commentaries of Srila Anantadas Baba from Radhakund. They're available here and there, must be there. You can buy here. I can't glorify these books enough, specifically for this type of learning, for this type of development. They're quite amazing, really amazing. We have to give credit, in a word. Have you read? You studied some? It's amazing, no? They're in Russian. They've been translated into Hindi and English and Russian. Russian language. You have a Russian, no? Amazing, no? So many quotations from Sandarbhas and Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, in the commentaries. And that's the language. I mean, he wrote these books in Bengali. And I'm reading in English, translating English, and they're so sweet. Have you read some?
Yeah, I want to give more of the ones with the commentary.
You read the ones with the comments?
No, I want to give more of them. I have some that have comments.
You have Vilab Kusumanjali?
Not with the commentary.
I had, because I, you know, that's a really major difference. I mean, the verse is like this, and the commentary is.
Yeah.
It unfolds the whole thing, the mentality of a mandri, the seva, the mood. Incomparable. I mean, everything is perfect. But I mean, they have things like, you know, everything is there in these books. Well, okay, but that's an emotion, that's kind of a sentiment. But not any one book is unlimited. Every book has an intention, a function, a teaching. There are some parameters. Otherwise, why have so many different books? You know, there's books about the Sambandha. There's books about Avideya. So specifically, the poems of Stavavali are written practically towards the end of end of his life, the end of Das Goswami's bhajan life, and they're like the essence of his whole life of realizations, and he's having realizations, and these are his spurtis and visions and realizations of the leelas and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It's unbelievable. And it's such a vast wealth. Because I'm studying and doing some writing myself. I think that's time. Excuse me?
Could you repeat, please, what is the name of the Ashtaka Raghunatha Goswami wrote about the glorification of Vishakha?
Yeah, it's the he didn't write any one. He didn't write one particular long prayer with many shlokas about Vishakha. He wrote here and there one verse, you know, glorifying her, singing her, that in these different. Poems in Stavavali, you'll find a verse to Vishakha, many verses here and there, 111. But there's one very long prayer with many prayers in it, an amazing commentary. It's called Vishakhananda. Vishakhananda da. Da means to give. Vishakhananda bida, bhidha, bida stotram. It's a stotram, a prayer to give bliss to Vishakha, but the prayer is all about Radharani. So it's not a prayer about Vishakha, but it's a prayer that he wrote as an offering to Vishakha. Because if you're thinking, oh, how can I make this person happy? Well, I know this person really loves her Giridhari. Okay, I'm a poet, so I'm going to write 108 verses in glorification of Giriraj. And say that person is here, happy birthday, here's a poem I wrote. Oh, who's it to? It's to Giriraj. And you read it, 108 verses. Oh, it's so beautiful. You'll feel so happy because you love Giriraj. So this is it's offered to Vishakha, but when Vishakha, because she's no difference from Radharani, one in heart. Vishakha is one in heart, one in mood, one in body, everything with Radharani. So when Vishakha reads it, she'll feel so happy. It's a very beautiful, amazing prayer to glorify Radharani. It's one of the best prayers in Stavavali. About Radharani's glories, Vishakhananda, and the explanations. I think that's it for now. Maybe. Future sometime. Anything, Pranavallava?
No.
Any more debates? You always have all these dicey, you know, operatic questions and stuff. You're really in some kind of world of, you know, like friends and enemies, or, you know, I don't know. It seems funny that general. I know they're not you're representing questions from others. I know that, but you know the group of questions that you usually bring. If I was to analyze the general tenor of those questions, they're all about this offense, that offense, and this group and that group. It's all like it's like a little bit of how would you say combat? No, it's not just pure rasa or philosophy or siddhanta. It's like trying to unravel. Well, this group said that, and that group said this, and if this person does this to that guru, and this guru to that guru, and but you know, in this group they're teaching this, and in that group they're teaching that, and why is the difference, and what is the difference between this group and that? It's all about your question, what you're representing from your. It's all about bade. It's all about bade means division, difference. Achintya bade, bade tattva. Bade means division. Do you follow what I'm saying? So now I said, oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay. So it's nice to hear some little variegated. Because usually he and Yamuna, only they come mostly, all the time. Anybody can come, but you know, just somehow they came. They've been coming for a long time. Sometimes nobody, sometimes two. It's not a big thing. So then, you know.
If we're welcome, we'll come all the time.
Yeah, yeah, no problem.
This is wonderful.